With your money briefing, I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Is it possible to time the market? It's not impossible, but it requires a bit of diligence on the part of the investor. We'll explain in a moment. First, these money and market stories you should know. Optimism among U.S. consumers that growth in the economy will produce more jobs and drive the unemployment rate even lower during the year ahead resulted in a spike in a measure of overall consumer sentiment. The University of Michigan, which conducts the survey, says September's sentiment reading was the second highest level since 2004. Data from the Gordon Haskett Investment House indicates the price of groceries at Whole Foods has not budged much since the chain was taken over by Amazon last year. Analysts priced a basket of 108 items at the end of August 2018. Now, compared with a similar tally in late March of this year, the analysts found higher prices on 19 items in the basket, while 11 items had lower prices and 78 items were priced the same. There were also fewer sale items included in their basket. Among the items in the basket were Whole Foods 365 brand creamy peanut butter, light balsamic vinaigrette salad dressing, coffee ice cream, Cheerios, Nature's Path buckwheat and wild berry waffles, and Amy's breakfast tofu wrap. And Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin has listed a Manhattan home that's been in his family for decades for $32.5 million. The 12-room apartment spans two floors with wood-burning fireplaces and a sweeping curved staircase. The Wall Street Journal Real Estate Bureau reports Mnuchin has owned the roughly 6,500-square-foot apartment since 2000, when he purchased it from his aunt. The building at 740 Park Avenue in Manhattan is one of New York's most exclusive addresses. Wealthy families like the Vanderbilts, Kochs, Rockefellers, and Bouviers have all lived there. It's a question that's not quite as age-old as which came first, the chicken or the egg, but the question, can you time the market, is a mystery that many in the investment community would love to unlock. Jason Zweig writes the Intelligent Investor column for the Wall Street Journal, and he's here to discuss. So Jason, investor Howard Marks has a new book out. It's called Mastering the Market Cycle. And primarily what he says is that when it comes to investing, a good defense is a good offense.
You know, the book really emphasizes that it's extremely difficult to call the turning points in the market, not just the stock market, but the bond market or any financial market, because most of the signals you'll get over the course of an investing lifetime are false signals. They're noise because the markets don't change direction in a really significant way all that often. So the reason you want to play defense as part of your offense is because you never really can be 100% sure that the market's going to change direction. So being a little conservative most of the time is a good idea.
And he points out in the book that markets move in big multi-year cycles, as you point out in your story, but investors oftentimes are not able to recognize when those happen. They might misread things, or they might take decoys as a serious way to use that in their investment strategy.
If you think about it, over the course of most people's investing lifetimes, we've seen the internet bubble burst in 2000. We had the financial crisis in 2008, 2009. Before that, the crash of 1987. Long before that, a crash in 1973, 74. So in 40-some years, there have been four major turns in the stock market. And over the long sweep of history, that's about roughly how often they tend to happen. So if you're expecting a huge turn any minute, most of the time you'll be wrong.
So within those four, over the span of those decades, an investor who might not be as disciplined as they might want to be would see a day-to-day knee-jerk reaction and think, ah, there's a big turn, and then they might make a mistake that could cost them.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing is, what we do know both from history and from psychology is that people's emotions tend to give them exactly the wrong signals. So, and Howard Marks tells an amazing story in his book about how in the fourth quarter of 2008, he was meeting with a pension fund manager trying to persuade that person to put more money into one of Mr. Marks's funds. And everything he said to the person, the pension fund manager would just say, but what if it's even worse than that? And he said, by the end, he realized there was no scenario he could paint that would be dire enough to get the person to stop asking that question. And that's when he realized maybe the market is getting close to bottom.
And after he had that conversation, I guess for several months, the market went lower and lower.
That's correct. But most of the damage had been done. And nobody, you know, like the old saying goes, nobody leaves Las Vegas except losers and liars.
Right.
I mean, nobody can really precisely identify either a market top or a market mm-hmm. bottom. But assuming you're in the accumulation phase as opposed to being a retiree, as stocks go down in value, you should like them more, not less. And that's true for all financial assets, including bonds. As they lose value, as a general rule, they become more attractive, not less, because they're cheaper.
And if Marx had that conversation in the fourth quarter of 08, we kind of pinned the turnaround of the market in March of 09. But I don't think people really knew that that was the turnaround at that moment. It sort of had to look back a couple months later and say, oh, there you go. There's the cruise ship turning around. So that in and of itself was even hard to find, was even hard to pinpoint.
Of course. And, you know, to be honest, no market turning point is ever identifiable except in hindsight, because it can turn around and then it can go right back down or right back up for that matter, and have a much larger move than the one you thought marked the turning point. So hindsight bias plays tricks on people, because it's easy to look at what did happen and say, oh, I saw it coming, when in fact not nobody, but very few people saw it coming.
And the markets can be misread as well. And you point this out in your story, looking at the current market scenario. Despite the current market conditions where fresh records are being reached almost on a very frequent basis, stocks may seem overvalued, but you say that they aren't overvalued to a strong degree.
Yeah, you know, if you look back at the history of the past few decades, there have been a couple of times when there clearly were valuation extremes. I mean, the first quarter of 2000 is the best example. I mean, U.S. stocks, if I remember right, were valued at something like 44 times their inflation-adjusted average 10-year earnings. It's just the highest level of valuation since the late 1920s. And Robert Shiller, an economist at Yale who later won the Nobel Prize, pointed out how overvalued stocks were. It wasn't obvious to everybody at the time, but the numbers were there. That's a clear turning point. But even in the financial crisis of 2008 and 2009, stocks did not reach the kinds of lows they did in 1974 and in 1982. The average PE on U.S. stocks never fell as low as it had in previous crashes. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people were waiting for that historic low point to be matched or exceeded, and stood back and missed much or all of the recovery as a result.
So while you can't really time the market, what you can do is understand history, and hopefully if you understand history, you can then not be terribly surprised by wholesale market moves going forward.
I think every investor in U.S. equities should be fully prepared to lose 50% of your money at any given time. If you're not, you probably own too much stock for your own good, and you probably have unrealistic expectations. The other thing is, if you do have a strong conviction that stocks are overvalued based on the enthusiasm you see other people displaying, then you could sort of shade or reduce your exposure to the equity market. But going either all in at the peak or all out at the bottom, or at any other point going all in or all out, is a pretty risky bet, because most of the time, those all-in and all-out bets will be proven wrong.
That is Wall Street Journal intelligent investor columnist Jason Zweig. Check out his column on WSJ.com and the WSJ app. Jason, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, JR. Great to be with you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm JR Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.